from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who says, how many times when you say, wouldn't that be a bit odd, do you have your pinky out? Or what do you think about saying, wouldn't that be a bit odd with your pinky out? Do you put your pinky out in bed? I mean, if you're going to put any fingers out in bed, you see, this pillow is delectable. Do that. Go ahead. This is a participatory welcome intro or greeting, because this is it's preposterous. I'm still going on, and you might be pondering, what is the preposterity about? Well, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And what am I supposed to say next? Oh, also remember that coming up here are the ways we're able to bring you the podcast free twice a week, but also make sure to check the show notes because Sleep With Me is here not just to put you to sleep, but to remind you to take good care of yourself. And if you're having a hard time, there'll be links to resources in the show notes and to take care of one another and to really think about supporting the Black members of our community, because Black lives matter. And there's a list of places to get started in our show notes that you can find in your podcast app. And then remember these sponsors when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast I need you to hear, it's where I pop my peas and get loud, if you please, because it's where I sit. Like, this is literally how I've been able to avoid selling the podcast to some paywalled service. That's why I get so excited here. This is really, really a big deal to me. The Sleepy Supporter Zone has changed the future of the podcast, and that's why we celebrate the people who support the sponsors. Tonight, we're talking about the people who support Quip. Oh boy, some people have some fresh breath and good looking teeth. Who is it? It's Gabby, Angie, Jessica, and from the Frazzlecast, Frazzly, my good friend. Thank you for supporting Quip, letting Quip know about it, sharing with me on Instagram and on Twitter. I really appreciate it. And if you supported a sponsor recently, if you signed up for a com subscription recently, or you got in an order, or you did an appointment through Plush Care, or whatever sponsor you support, you can find them at Sleep With Me at our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. But tag them, tag me, let me know what you got, because I'm always interested too. And that's a huge, huge, huge way to support the show. And again, you don't have to. It's just I like to celebrate the people that do, because it's a big deal. So thank you, Frazzly, Angie, Jessica, and Gabby. I appreciate it. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you need extra help right now, there's links to resources in the show notes. And if you want to support the Black members of our community, because we know we want to be compassionate, we want to live with empathy, and that means supporting the members of our community. Or if you're in need of healing too, there's resources in the show notes to organizations that can help. And you know who else I support? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she supported the Malala Fund. And so I'm supporting it too, in her honor. The Malala Fund is an organization, you've probably heard of it, but if you haven't, it's malala.org. And they provide free quality schooling to girls and young women around the world and remove obstacles to them getting 12 years of quality education. So that's one thing I'm supporting. It's Malala Fund. You could look it up or you could use the link that'll be in our show notes. That's it. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song. Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's one place you can find me. There's something I was supposed to remind you of, but I totally forgot what it was. Oh, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, remember the podcast. But that's not what I... But anyway, what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. Like when I say we, it's the royal... Maybe we could talk about the royal we. There's so many ways we could go with that. Wait, now I'm so mixed up. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and write some plus play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be things on your mind that you're thinking about. So thoughts, could be feelings, physicals, like so emotions, thoughts, physical sensations. It could be anything coming up. Temperature, time. Just like remnants of the day. You see, well, I'm not sure if this is a thought or a feel, a fraught feeling, or see, it's a bit of a thought and a feeling, and it feels, you know, say fraught. I've had those before. Like it's not, I'm not fraught. I'm not feeling fraught. I'm having a fraught. Believe it or not, one time when I was a boy, when I was just a lad, they said, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to sell frosted frots. And they said, frosted frogs? Like, they said, chocolate frog. I thought I was selling frosted frots and frosted frogs. I just went off topic. I don't know what I didn't do that as a lad, but I imagine I would. Frosted frots for sale. Extra frosty, and so anyway, I'm here to take your mind off of stuff, whatever's keeping you awake. It could be any of those things, but it could be something else. You know, you could be whatever. What are you dealing with? Go ahead and let it out. Say it could, you could just, you don't even have to say fraught, frumph. You could say harumph. You could do one of those. Oh. Let it out a little bit. We don't get to be as interactive. You know, it's not always necessary, but tonight it feels like it, doesn't it? So, oof. Make one of those faces that cats make in comic books, comedic cats, and then the one of the artists or the editor or the writer or the penciler or the inker, someone has to come up with how to put that into words, that face the cat is making. So, yeah, oh boy, right? Because it wouldn't make sense if the cat said, oh boy, unless it was, you know, unless it made sense. Okay, where was it? So sorry, if you're new, I don't always go off topic this early, but I normally do. Inevitably, when I say I don't, I've just gone off topic hundreds of episodes in a row at this time. And I already forgot what the first thing we were going to talk about that was going to be interesting. Oh, the royal we. But let me set up for new listeners. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. And as you've seen, I'm going to go naturally. I'm going to go off topic and get mixed up. So if you're new, though, a lot of important things to know. My regular listeners, what up? Frost, why don't you have a frosted frot and groan while I talk to these new listeners? Or grimace. You could make a verbal grimace or a silent grimace, or just grimace with your body. Go right ahead. You know, that was a funny thing. That wasn't there a corporate mascot's assistant or best friend named Grimace? But Grimace always had a smile. I never thought about that till now. Probably hours after leaving the fast food restaurant that where Grimace worked all day long and living in a world based on a fast food belief system, like late at night when the cameras weren't on, Grimace was grimacing. He said, oh boy. He said, wait, like Grimace probably said, Ronald, explain this to me again. What happens to the, because I think they were called like the Fry Guys, which were like little kids. He said, what happens to them after they go in your restaurant? That's oil? Oh my goodness. A Happy Meal goes to be a place where it's happy, right, Ronald? Of course it does, Grimace. Goes to the happiest place it could ever go. Well, a couple different places, actually, to be honest with you, Grimace. The belly. The toys will go probably in the car and then under a car seat eventually. And everything else hopefully goes into either compost or recycling bin. Ronald, what's a is the belly the same thing I have? Wait a second. But what about when we go through the Fry Lane and we sing the It's Raining Fries song? Okay, how do we get this off topic? I thought we were going to talk about the royal we. Okay, so if you're new, This normally happens, but I guess I like to pretend it doesn't. So if you're new, a couple things to know. This podcast is very different and strange. I think you've seen that already. And it is a podcast that is best consumed in a loose way, like with a natural grimace if you're new, not to bring it back, though, or a doubt or skepticism. That's how most people approach this podcast at first, and so that's a totally normal way to think about and look at the show. Totally what most people do. Totally reasonable. Because it's different. So one thing to know is just kind of barely listen. Like, sometimes people are new, and they're, like, waiting for the story to start and waiting for the sleepy stuff, waiting for the magic to happen. But the magic never really happens. Like, we get, this is where you go to get to see, you say, well, who's Grimace and Ronald, Scooter? And I say, well, it doesn't really matter. It's just one of those things in my mind that's constantly playing in the background. And then I say, wait a second, is that a Donald's Land over there? I forgot all about it. But I still can't believe that creature's name was Grimace. Now, because isn't a grimace like a face you make when your belly isn't feeling good? You say, oh boy. But you're not totally, you say, well, it's just in a state that I'm not happy. I'm grimacing. or when Scoots makes a joke. What's the face, Alec? What is the face I make when I'm listening to Scooter? Correct, grimace. Okay, so yeah, just basically consume this podcast loosely, barely listen. That's the first thing. The second, and the other part of the first thing is if you're doubtful or skeptical or not sure you like the show, that's totally normal. Most regular listeners say give it 2 or 3 tries and then kind of see, assess it after the third try and say, oh, I went from a strong loathing to a mild not caring. And then I say, my job is done. That's a successful transition. But you could say, well, I went from a strong loathing to no longer listening. You say, okay, that's good. You're on your journey to your next thing. So barely listen. The other thing is that this podcast barely puts you to sleep. Even though you barely listen to it, it's more here to be your companion in the deep, dark night. I'm here to be at your bedside, talking a little bit of nonsense to take your mind off of stuff, to be your companion as you drift off. So my job's to take your mind off stuff and distract you. And ideally, as we walk together through the night, you float away off into dreamland. So that's what I hope for you. So it's a podcast you don't listen to. Even though it's a sleep podcast, doesn't really put you to sleep. And the show's about an hour, so you have plenty of time to fall asleep. And if you can't sleep, as some listeners I know can't, I'm here. I'm here to the very end to keep you company. I take that job very seriously. And you can line up back-to-back-to-back episodes if you're waking up or you're going through a tough time or you're just, that's your natural status. You say, well, I just listen to you for a companionship, Scoots, to be my boar bud. I'm here for you. I'm more than willing to follow Grimace down Fry Guy Lane and then, you know, and follow Grimace home where Grimace is sitting on, I picture Grimace with a twin bed, a very simple room. Not just because it's probably underpaid, but I don't know. Is that what you'd say? Oh, it's a Spartan room. And right now, Grimace is sitting on the edge of Grimace's bed. Oh, Grimace is like a big purple being, a bit like a. I don't know how else to describe it. Looks like a Grimace kind of shaped like an upside down light bulb. But much more fuzzy and plush. And none of that's probably accurate. With a big smiling face and big eyes. So, oh boy, where was I? I was trying to explain what my sleep podcast was. Okay, so don't listen, don't pay attention. Don't worry, I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. Structure of the show throws people off, obviously. Show starts off with a greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. Then there's business. That's what enables us to bring the podcast twice a week for free. Then, like around 6 minutes or so into the show, or 8 minutes or something, from minute 8 to minute 20 or 25 is the intro. And the intro is where I just kind of ramble on and on and on and like introduce the show. So for a new listener, you kind of get an idea what the podcast is going to be like. And I don't know, it just kind of tries to over-explain everything, which is one of my skills. And I get distracted in the middle of over-explaining stuff. I go off topic and get distracted. Then, oh, what else are you talking about? And I forget stuff. So the intro for a regular listener, though, you kind of see how you adjust to it. You say, well, I like to start it before I get in bed, or I like to listen in bed, or I fall asleep. Or there's like $10 patrons that get 2 all intro episodes a month. So they say, oh, that's all I listen to. So just kind of develop how you like to listen. So for regular listeners, though, the intro is something different every time, but familiar. Because I don't think I've talked about I shouldn't have said that because now they can find me. Grimace's family land before, but I could have. I think I talked about Snuffleupagus in the last 6 months and I almost called them the Hobbits, or the Fraggles, Fraggle Rock. And oh boy, was I wrong about that because I looked it up on YouTube and I said, well, I got a lot of... I don't remember much about the Fraggles. That was correct, except for the theme song. I was spot on about that. Okay. And that they had a belief system. I was wrong about this, but this is not in the intro. Some sort of garbage-based belief system. Okay, so... Oh, so that's the intro. Then there's business, and then there's a story. Tonight it'll be our episodically modular series, Odder Things, with a bit of seriality. But here's the thing. You could listen to it in any order, because we'll catch you up on it. But you could also look at it like, what is this, episode 9? You could say, well, this is episode 1. All the other episodes are prequels. And I'm not kidding. Just like most like mass market paperbacks, you say, okay, well, you could read them in order, and that's fine if you want to, but don't worry. It's just as sleepy, and I'll catch you up on everything you kind of barely need to know, or our hostess will tonight. So then there's the thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. And I think that's about it. I mean, the podcast is not for everybody. I've learned that over 900 plus episodes, but a lot of times you don't know if it's for you or not until you find out, which takes a little while because it's so different. You say, well, this is a podcast that'll barely, like, do you like to be entertained? Okay, most people do. What about barely entertained? Well, I don't know. I've never been barely entertained. I'd say, yeah, you might not have been aware of it before because you were thinking about, if you were barely entertained, you were probably, you say, oh, yeah, that's right. So just kind of see how it goes. Give it a few tries. I really hope I make the show for two reasons. One, because I've been there and I know how it feels. But two, because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep and I want to help. So give it a few tries. See how it goes. I'm really glad you checked the show out. I appreciate your time. And I really work hard. I yearn and I strive because I really want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you twice a week. Thanks. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. You know I got an Air Doctor. It is running in the other room right now, and especially in the winter. Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And, you know, that comes with a lot of consequences for your health. So what's the solution? Well, an Air Doctor is the solution. It's captured the attention of CNN, Money, ABC, and more. That's the Air Doctor air purifier. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. You got to get yourself an Air Doctor. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use a promo code SLEEP. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. This is exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to AirDoctorPro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com, and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's Scooter here. I'm very proud to present our ongoing episodically modular serialized, barely serialized series, Otter Things. And due to a magical hostess, we're able to present the show in almost any order. Or not, like, well, in the order you're listening to it in. So, this is actually the first episode you may be hearing, or it may be the ninth. And if it's the first episode you're hearing, you can catch up or you can move forward because you are so safe. All will be well in the hands of Emma Otter, our hostess. This is a show about odd things and otters, friendship and family. Adventure and discovery, and it's called Otter Things, and I'm going to turn it over to our hostess, Emma Otter. Hey, everybody, this is Emma Otter here, and I'm just recording, and I don't know, I want you to know all will be well. I start off my radio show. Now, this isn't a live radio show. I'm recording it to be broadcast at another time, audio journal. An audio report. I'm Emma Otter. And this is a tale of some odd things that happened where I live. I live in a place, the swamp, part of a greater swamp area. And our little part of the swamp is surrounded by swamp on three sides. And on one side, there's a road and a place beyond the swamp where no one is supposed to go. Though we've learned that people do work on the other side of that and stuff, but we're still not, as regular swamp dwellers, not supposed to go there. That's the Bog Walk and Visitor Center. And it's separated from our community by a road where strange vehicles can pass from time to time. And so we're surrounded, we're a town, community, really, a community of swamp beings, so swamp-based beings, SBBs, you know, otters, beavers, weasels, you know, a lot of members are frogs, friends, I like to call them, and particularly my best friends. Let's see, we have Willow. Who is a beaver. We have my brother, Tefe, who's an otter. My family, of course. My friends, LJ and Vaughn. And those are my friends. We play a game, a role-playing game called Bards and Big Bunnies. We also record radio plays in our spare time. And we were living a normal life, middle school kids. I got an older brother. Willow also has an older sister, Dari. She lives with her mom, Frances. And, you know, we lived our life. We dealt with kids that weren't nice to us and kids that were, teachers we liked and teachers we didn't like. And then one day, it was a Sunday night, we were playing Bards and Big Bunnies, our role-playing game. And we finished up and everybody headed home. But Willow took a path less taken and she went to a place beyond the swamp where we're still not exactly sure where she is. But as you know, because I've told you and I'll tell you again, all will be well. So no need to worry. This is just a recounting of the odd things that happened that led us back to the place where all will be well. And as far as we could tell, she became a plaything of a big bunny with goose features, possibly, in a place beyond or underneath the swamp, or both. and was placed in a crib and sang to with some sort of hypnotic magical spell by this big bunny that makes you sleep and relax. But we didn't know that, and we still don't know all the details. We're still uncovering it, but that's, you know, that's odd. You might say, well, that's the oddest thing I've ever heard. Oh, just wait, because we thought, well, first we thought, where was Emma? Maybe she, you know, she took the path less taken or the road less taken. We hope she's not on the road. And we looked for her, as friends know, are known to do. But then we were told that by the authority figures beyond our town that Emma had left and moved to the city and started her career as a musician. And she had already achieved success and put out an album, and mostly her album was goofing on us and our town. And so we said, well, I guess we weren't as good friends with Emma. We said, that's odd, very odd, not Emma's character. And, of course, we were disappointed, too, because we said we thought we were friends. And but so, I don't know, there's something at the pit of our stomach. At the same time, we had found another friend named Billy, a duck-billed beaver named Billy. And Billy had actually come from the place beyond the swamp, the visitor center, which below it is a bunch of places where they do tests and the Greater Swamp Authority conducts experiments and things, but all will be well. And Billy actually had either superpowers, magical powers, or enhanced human abilities, particularly when she would throat sing or sing, and she could do things like pump up the jam. She could pump up something with jam or with air if she sang the throat song pump it up or anything like that, or jump. She never did this that I know of, but if she sang any of the songs known as jump that were popular in the 80s, you know, we're in the 90s now, she would you would jump probably like up in the air, or For My Love, jump in, or jump, might as well jump. So she had powers, and she was also she was on a journey of discovery. She had left, we didn't really know a lot about her. Was this discovery of Billy related to Willow? Yes, we found out it was. And that she had somehow, when she lived at the visitor center, under the tutelage of Dr. Max Modine, a fox, who was using her powers to try to use it in to get a better understanding of how they could use powers like hers and hers to be amplified in case humans were real or returned, you know, depending on what your belief system is, if humans are real or not, or if they ever were real. And then, oh, if they're real, what if they returned? Or what if they're, you know, they're out there somewhere in a place beyond the swamp as well? And if that's the case, we should have, you know, instead of being a community-based value system, we should have a defensive-based value system or an offensive-based value system. And so that's what Dr. Max Modine was doing. But while they were doing that, they were using Billy's powers. She found a organic, what we can only see is like a portal to another world that may be its own organic being. And like some beings also have beings within them, or we all do, you know, there's different forest friends, microscopic ones that live with me and I carry with me every day. And we live with one another, I have my own biome. I wish I had said that right away because that sounds so much more friendly. I have my own biome and so do you. And this was some sort of biome, possibly, that was connecting worlds, making a tunnel, making a tower, part of a tower. Very confusing, but somehow within that thing, we called it we associated with the Tower of Sorcery, was this goose bunny or this big bunny. And now we're wondering, I don't know, there's still a couple missing pieces, right? Meanwhile, I don't want to, I guess the other stuff I could just tell you in 2 seconds. My brother Taffy and Dari teamed up. Oh, they're going to fill you in. I forgot. We'll catch you up. So that's what we know. So I could just start where we are. So Vaughn, Billy, and I had gone back to my house. We had relocated Billy. We had dealt with some bullies from my school. Billy had saved us. It was pretty awesome. Made me fly, or made Vaughn fly. I can't remember. There was flying, though, and even a vehicle, and so many things. But we returned home because we were exhausted. And we cleaned Billy off, and Billy and I were talking, and I was saying, geez, Billy, really sorry, because we'd all kind of lost our cool. And I said, I'm sorry I lost my cool. I really missed you. And I really like being your friend, and I guess I really care about you. And Billy said, I care about you, too. And it would I don't want to, you know, it's between me and Billy, but we felt a level of closeness. And I just was like, geez, I was really concerned. And also maybe because I lost, you know, so I felt like the need to apologize and acknowledge that I had caring for Billy. And as we kind of just held each other's paws and flippers together, Vaughn burst in, and Vaughn said, one of our bikes won't stop clicking. I think it's clicking SBBS, not, but whoever's doing it's trying to say, it's a LJ, I think, saying SBBS, it's LJ, SBBS, it's LJ. So we listened, and it was Vaughn's bike, and because we would communicate with these telegraphs, we had battery-powered, solar-powered, bike-powered telegraphs. Radio wireless telegraphs, so we could talk to each other while we're on bike. Really handy because you just use your thumb on your bike and it actually vibrates through your whole bike frame, so you could feel it in your whole body. So we really knew. I guess LJ was excited because LJ was really good at a telegraph code. And we said, so then we said, what is it? What's, and then Vaughn, of course, had to say SBBS, ? And then it was like barred stoppers, barred blockers. Gerard? Wait a second. Gerard barred, bad barred. Gerard bad barred are coming. And they said, bad bards are coming, but also Gerard. And we said, that's what he said it 14 times in a row or something, those combination of words. And then Vaughn ran upstairs to my house and looked outside and saw these vans pull up. One was a news van, and the other ones were the vans that LJ had seen earlier. Of this organization that's against bards and big bunnies in comic books. And Gerard is a famous investigative reporter who has a show. And this particular season is fixated on how board games make your kids abandon their belief systems and take up other belief systems that aren't very inventive for fiction. But this was real, this Gerard. Or so we thought. It turns out, no. And so Vaughn ran back downstairs and said, we got to go. It's like, bad bards, I think, undercover. And so we said, okay. And then my mom said, what is this hubbub? And we said, Mom, we got to go. We love you. If anybody asks, we'll be at school. We're doing a study hall somewhere at the library. Yeah, we're at the library. And as we ran out, we hopped on our bikes. We pulled out of my house, and I caught my first glimpse of this Dr. Max Modine, a maximum doctor of moods, I guess. He looked at us, looked at Billy. Billy and Dr. Max made eye contact, and Dr. Max kind of furrowed his furrowy brow. And then we took off. We have swamp bikes, which are bikes that can go on the ground. They're like dirt bikes and water bikes. And, of course, they have the cool telegraphs. So they can go on water and on land, which will be important in a minute because they started to chase us in their vans, which are, you know, gas-powered or electric-powered or whatever, gas-powered, I guess. But actually, at the same time, Gerard went to my house, and my mom said, "Are you Gerard from the TV?" And then my dad said, "That's Gerard from the TV." And Gerard said, "I'm Gerard from the TV." Roll the cameras and said, "I wonder if you realize your children are playing a game that has, you know, like capitalist overtones." So they split up. Most of them were following us, but Gerard and a team started to tell my parents this whole nonsensical story about bards and big bunnies, which I kind of don't need to get too deep into. Because we were talking to LJ, or Vaughn was, and relaying it and saying, LJ said they're from the place beyond the swamp. And so we started to ride, and then we met up with LJ, and we were trying to take turns and avoid, go through trees that were narrow. But, you know, the vans were going fast, so we were slowly losing ground. And also they had like four vans, so we were like, we're never going to be able to lose them. But then we were like, oh, no, what are we going to do? And then LJ said, we'll go into the water, like their vans. Why didn't we think of that? But we don't want them to think that. So we went on this long roundabout, and then we headed towards the road because we knew we could go left, and then there was this big swampy area that we could ride out our bikes to. And we just turned to this crank or, you know, depending on your bike model, to make these flaps come out on your wheels. And the tubing of the bike's all buoyant, so you could paddle. So we did that right as the vans were about to catch us, and then we headed out in the water. And they all skidded to a stop at the last patch of solid ground. And Vaughn said, "Ha ha, ha ha," and we said, "Yeah, it was so cool." And then right as we were about to, you know, keep going and pedaling and discuss what we were going to do next, Vaughn looked back and said, "Oh no!" And we heard this sound, these high wind sounds. We saw the backs of the vans open up and these giant turbines pop out of the backs of the vans. And then underneath the vans, these giant, they basically became hovercrafts, these giant air bladders. And they started to follow us because they were amphibious. Now they're amphibious vehicles, perfect for the swamp. And they were very fast. And now we really were out on the open swamp. The road was on one side. We couldn't possibly ride our bikes up the incline. And on our left was a road where one van was still following. So we couldn't turn. So we were just, it was inevitable they would catch up with us. And they were catching up, and then Billy, who's riding on the back of my bike, I don't know if I mentioned that, her arms around me, both of us tense. And I felt a vibration in Billy's chest, and I was positive that was the song Winds of Change. And as I look back, the first van that was closest to us, in the back of the van, was actually traveling technically by wind power, changed and reversed, and then the van tumbled over itself. But then another van avoided it and got closer to us. But Billy changed the song. Billy was singing to a song known called Wholehearted. And all of a sudden, there just started to appear holes in the air bladder, and it started flapping, and that van just like went headfirst into the swamp. And then there was one more van, amphibious van, getting close. That was the one Modine was in, Max Modine, not driving, but in the passenger seat, glaring at us. And Billy sang the song, "Can't Stop This Thing We Started." And then the van stop very quickly, which caused the van to also roll. But of course, everybody's, you know, it all will be well. Unfortunately for us, because, you know, they were all belted in. But then again, there was still the van running parallel with us on the road. And Billy turned one last time and sang the song Cream, which usually is a get like, but it's all of a sudden this, the mud underneath the van started to turn to like a creamy mud. It just spun its wheels and that didn't go anywhere. So then we kept going, and then we said, okay, where are we going to hide? We got to hide somewhere. Because now we're on, you know, technically we're on the run. And we said, let's hide to the, let's head to the, like, the, what do you call it, station. Like, leave a bike trail towards the transfer station and make it look like we hid in the transfer station area. And then we went back out on the water, and then we said, well, where are we going to hide? And we said, well, what about, like, where they have the, where we have the community resource fair, the community fairgrounds? And we said, okay, yeah, yeah. So we headed there, and we got in the tree that you put the acorns in, because you do, like, it's like a fake tree. It looks very real that you drop your acorns in as part of the community resource festival. And it was a good thing we hit out there, because then we noticed a airship, like a blimp, a zeppelin that was coming from the place beyond the swamp and circling our town, like looking, assumingly were looking for us. Now, while all this was happening at the community resource, like community resource office, our town is run, you know, we have like a elected leaders, but we also have community resource officers, you know, kind of deal with restorative practices and you know, just keeping to help watch out, like an authority, I guess. And the head of the community resource officers is our friend Bull, Leon. Leon was just getting there with Dari. With Francis, because Jari and Tefe had a run-in with other community resource officers for damaging, like, a mini disc player or something. And they were kind of going through, there's a little bit of rote work when you first get in trouble as part of our restorative process, before you make amends and that kind of thing. You have to do all these critical thinking exercises about what you've done while it's fresh in your mind. And so, like, it's a lot of writing. And also they're asking, why do you have so many carrots? Like the other community resource officers, are these giant swaddling clothes? That was another thing they had. But then Leon and Francis came in, and Leon said, stop the rote critical thinking skills. And they said, but they got to finish. They already started while it's fresh. And Leon said, I need to talk to them. And they said, but this is a ascribed process that we go. And Leon said, it's don't worry about it. And then Francis said, this is my a daughter, you know, we're going through a time here. And also, and then everyone else said, well, and Tefe's so great because everybody loves Tefe. And then Leon said, well, I need to talk to two of you in my office. And they said, well, it doesn't matter. You won't understand it if we talk to you about it. And they said, Leon, I think they have like 5,000, there's something weird going on. And they said, you'll never understand. Leon said, I want to understand all the sides of this problem, all angles. And they said, you won't possibly be able to understand it, Leon. Just trust us. Sorry, Mom. We'll just finish our critical thinking skills and go home. And then Leon said, in my office. So they went in there, and then they were like, they said, he said, carrots? And they said, yeah. He said, for what? And they said, for a giant bunny with a goose head maybe two. And they kind of explained that they had discovered with Dari underneath the swamp, there was a place underneath the swamp that went to the visitor center maybe and down. And maybe it was in another world. There's goop and a giant bunny and a smaller version of our town. But that they were going to use, they said, well, we're going to catch the big bunny because we have think we have to believe it has something to do with Willow and Babs not being around anymore. And yeah, they said, I know it's confusing and I know you'll probably tell us that, you know, but Leanne said, no, no, no. And Francis said, Dari, I need to talk to you. We believe you. But and they went alone. And Francis said, Dari, why'd you go off on your own? Why didn't you tell me? And she said, well, you had a lot on your mind, Mom. She said, a giant bunny with goose heads? And Dari said, yeah. And she said, you went down there below the swamp to find it? And she said, well, to find Willow and Babs. She said, well, I'm here to help. Let the adults handle this from here on out, please. You know, I'm an authority in our family, and Leanne's an authority in our community, and we'll handle it from here on out. Yeah, but you can help barely. And then Leanne said, back in my office, like, and then right as he said that, a weasel mother came in with her, one of the weasel sons that had been bothering us. And first Leanne said, you handle this, lower community resource officers, but said, like, then he said, my son was bothered by a duck-billed beaver. And Leanne said, well, duck-billed beaver? What? And she said, yeah, it sings songs that made my son do weird things, things that aren't okay, like that song on the radio about, like the whole Jocelyn Elders thing. And Leanne said, well, that's natural, perfectly normal. And the weasel mother clearly did not agree with him. And then she said, no, it's not. And he said, it is, right, Francis? And Francis said, well, I'm here. I guess she goes, it's awkward. My daughter, she goes, yes, it is normal. And she said, well, singing a song that controls my son's mind and behavior normal? And Leanne said, where's this duck-billed beaver? But meanwhile, Leanne and Francis had uncovered that it was a platypus, not a duck-billed beaver. And the kid said, it's hanging out with those who, like, said nice things about me and my friends. Those kids that play dress up in child's games and pretend because they don't like the audio drama that we make, the radio plays or the games. They're jealous. And because we still come to school, like, dressed as our favorite historical characters or historic, you know, novelists or whatever. Or put it, but so whatever. The weasel said a lot of stuff about that. But basically said, this, that's who it's with. And then Taffy kind of said, that's my sister you're talking about. And now I'm not impressed because... And they said, you're not being nice to Taffy's sister. Everybody there said, oh boy, you've got to grow critical thinking skills to do before you make amends. And the weasel's moms came in. I came in for his justice to be restored, not for him to restore any justice. And they said, that's not how it works, ma'am. Yeah, you'll have to sit down. And then Leanne said, you sit down and I'll be back. And then they snuck out the back. Leanne, Francis, Dari, and Taffy. And they headed to Taffy in my house because they said, we got to find your sister. But when they got there, there was all the vans were there. I guess they had replacement vans or whatever. Some of them were covered in mud, so maybe two of them were towed. But Gerard was there, and they were taking stuff, and Taffy wanted to go in and get Taffy said, I can get my otter oil. And Leanne said, you can't go in there. They're busted. And we listened in, and they were telling it that we could hear that they told my parents that, like, again, that we were They were in some sort of, there was some gecko named Gordon who believed that greed was good, and that was a creator of Bards and Big Bunnies. So Gecko, Gordon the Gecko, and that we, like, and Teffy, and they said that Teffy was the one that introduced us, so then Teffy was like, holy moly. And I, like, that it was about self first and community second, and bootstrapping and destiny or something. I don't know. Manifest. I don't know. Like, all this stuff. And that Bards and Big Bunnies was really just about that. And that we may believe in humans and proto-humans or something. And that we believed in amoral behavior. Behavior that was neither good nor bad. And obviously my parents were, well, my parents were checked out. So, I mean, in general, my life and my brother's life. So they were mostly embarrassed. And that Gerard was there, you know, putting them on tape. But it was all fake. So even if my parents were listening to this, I'd say Gerard was just a character disinformation actor hired by the Greater Swamp Authority. Well, also about the duck-billed beaver was living in our house. That was upsetting to my parents, too. But then they had to brainstorm. They said, we have to track your sister down and her friends. And Teve said, I think I know a way. Francis, can we go back to your house? Dari, like, does Will have anything in a room that looks like that you like? And Dari said a telegraph, and Teffy said yes, a telegraph, the pressy pressy thing. That's what I was gonna say. So they headed back to Francis's house. Now, meanwhile, we were stuck in that tube for a while, and then we said, we had some time to talk. The tube was inside of a fake tree. It was big enough we could all sit in a circle, so we had to make eye contact. But it didn't take long for LJ to say, wow, you really saved us there, Billy. And I guess I was wrong. Just saying that you didn't want to help us find Willow, that just is like, it's a journey we're on together. But I was mostly concerned with finding Willow and had some assumptions, and I made assumptions about everything. And for that, I'm sorry and I apologize. And Billy said, I used my powers to make you run away and that wasn't okay. And also I used my powers because I didn't want to find Willow because I was afraid that if you knew, like, to be fully seen by all of you. But now that we're sitting in a circle, fully seeing one another, Billy didn't exactly say this. I guess I'm putting words in her mouth, but kind of this was the general je ne sais pas, now that I feel full trust that friends can be friends around one another. So I'm sorry. And they said, I accept your apologies. And then I had to apologize, because I said, well, I kind of took Billy's side over your side, and I failed to kind of grasp, your side of things, LJ, and the weight, and I didn't stay calm. Also, then I had to apologize to Billy again so everybody else would see it, because the last apology was private. Then Vaughn apologized kind of to LJ and to Billy. LJ for kind of taking my side more than LJ's, and then to Billy for also getting mad at Billy when she made LJ run away. So, it took a while because we were using more of our, I'm like a little bit older now, so I have better use of my words. But then we heard one of the bikes start clicking because it was like right up against the backside of the tree. So we could hear it right through the thing. And we said, Teffe, where are you? This is Teffe. I said, Teffe would never use my And we said, that doesn't make any sense. And Vaughn said, it's a trick. It's not Taffy. It's a place beyond the swamp. And we all said, this is very odd. And Taffy said, where are you? Answer us. And we said, well, they could be listening to the telegraphs. And then we said, well, how is there any way we could know it's Taffy? And I said, yeah, Taffy's the only person that knows where I hide my diary. I assume on the planet, definitely in the swamp, because my parents never found it, because they put us, you know, I have ways of discovering if my diary's been read. And they said, you have a diary? Are we in it? And that was a sweet moment in the middle of tension. Even Billy got the gist of the fun and said, am I in it? And I said, you're all in it, of course. You know, using the journal as part of my wind-down routine. So we asked F.A., and I'm not going to say it on the air, even though I moved it. But, well, I guess I say, like, so I put some cardboard underneath. I made a cardboard shelf underneath my bookshelf on the bottom, up above the molding. So you couldn't see it, but then it would hold, it was just enough to hold the weight. You know, I used tape and some sticks. So it was like a cardboard shelf that I built myself inside the underneath of my bookshelf. You know, where the molding, you could, the molding almost goes to the floor and you could slip your hand into there. Don't know what it was for anyway. And if you just hid your journal on the floor in the back, you know, someone that was sweeping or tying their shoe could see it on the floor, or they could reach under if they thought you might have hit it there. But if they're sliding their hand, the shelf would be above their hand, so they'd have to feel around. So it worked, except Taffy found it, because Taffy was watching. Taffy pulled a trick, whereas Taffy said, prove it, we're arguing, and then said, prove it. Like, it was a trick. I didn't realize Steffi's bright sometimes. So what was the date that we, ate all that ice cream? And I said, June 7th. And Steffi said, no, it was June 22nd. And then I knew, because I put it in my diary. And Steffi said, well, it wouldn't matter, because no one would have proof anyway. And I said, I have proof. And then Taffy said, well, get it. If you're right, then I'll pay you. And then, so this was like, I think it was like 5 acorns, we'll say. So then I went and went to get my diary. But Taffy pushed open my door as I was reaching for it. And then Taffy said, okay, 5 acorns. I'll charge you 15, to leave your diary alone. That was after, after I did that, Taffy, basically diary napped my diary. So I said, where do I hide my diary? Because it didn't happen that long ago. And Taffy answered, underneath a bookshelf and a fake shelf, left side. And I said, that's it, left side, even. But Vaughn was still like, this is some sort of trick. What if Taffy's with the people from the swamp? We can't trust, Taffy's not trustworthy anyway. And then we were going back and forth, and then it came back that it was Leon. And Leon said, where are you? We want to help. And then we said, should we tell them or not? And then Billy said, they might be listening. And we said, what are we going to do? And Billy said, answer them, and what I'll do is jam all of the other telegraphs in town, because they're probably listening to all the telegraphs, and I'll put a different answer of where we are in every other telegraph, and then I'll need a long nap. So as we typed it to that one telegraph, we're at the community resource fairgrounds, Billy put in all these different locations. We actually had to make, it was a longer process than that. We said, hold on. And then we made a long list because Billy, and then we actually had to teach Billy a little bit of telegraph code. But so we did that, and it worked, but it was only, there's only like 35, like we could only come up with 35 places. So we knew we didn't have long. We were hoping, we said, hurry. Cause we said, what if they check this one first? So then we said, okay, we'll leave the bikes at the base of the tree and we'll go hide somewhere else. So we decided actually to hide in the Ferris wheel, which all the pods were down from the Ferris wheel. So we're hiding in the base of them, watching the tree and waiting. And eventually we heard a van pull up, and it was these people from Beyond the Swamp. It's some weasels and some other swamp friends, not friends though. And they started walking around the tree, and we said, oh boy, like they're going to, and then they found our bikes, and we said, oh no. And we said, as soon as they check that, they're going to check everywhere else. So we were really worried, and Vaughn said, see, it was a trick. But then we didn't know this, but Leon and Tefe had pulled up, and Leon said, Tefe, what do you got in that bag you carry? Because Tefe carries like a bag, like a, he calls it a side kit. It's technically like a purse where he keeps his otter oil and some other like products he uses for his looks. And Tefe said, what do you mean? And Leon said, there's no way that the tips of your tops, your things are not only shining, but because there's a golden, he goes, you got some like golden, and he goes, yeah, Goldriser. I got a Goldriser cream. And the chief said, give it to me. And he started to coat these acorns in this gold thing because, again, another thing, if you're raised in the swamp at all, is like the idea of finding a golden acorn that the most experienced people of our community can leave these golden acorns. Like the knowledgeable, most experienced members of our community, if you bring them a golden acorn, whether it's someone in your family or, you know, you go to the place where they all live and they get to live out their years where we take care of them and bask in their experience and knowledge, you bring them a golden acorn, they'll tell you a story from their life and their experience, a life lesson. But they'll also give you a treat if you're a kid, or if you're an adult, they give you a surprise, and it could be anything. It's usually pretty great, and it really reinforces a lot of positive things. Like people would say, oh, it's manipulative to be nice to the most experienced members of our community, but it really burns a pathway where you want to listen to them, and you associate the reward with this other reward that you're getting from the parable, from their real life that they're telling you. So the gold acorns are worth a lot to everybody. So Leon started throwing them, like four or five of these golden acorns that he had made with Tefe's, you know, gold grease or whatever it was called. And so then the weasels that were looking for us saw them, and they said, oh, and then they were trying to grab them because they thought, oh, they were left over from the queue. They said, they, oh, it's a smooth move. But as each one, like, ran after a golden acorn, Leon used, you know, some moves to make them take naps, special naps. And then Leon found us and said, hey, come on, let's go. Before we, and we said, what do you mean? And he said, let's go now. And so we left with him. And then, you know, it's probably better, like, I can, like, then we went back and it was bedtime. So we all went back to Francis and Dari's house. And we had a sleepover, and Leon said, okay, in the morning, we're going to go through where we are and where we need to be and come up with a plan for tomorrow. But for now, let's all rest together. We know all will be well. We know we're going to be here to take care of one another and help find Willow and Babs. And we all introduced ourselves. We also hugged one another. This was before we went to bed. I forgot. Like, I hugged Tefe, and I said, I said it, and Tefe said, I can't believe this. And I said, I can't believe, and I said, I missed you. And I said, I missed you too, Teffy. And Teffy said, maybe we should be no more secrets, huh? And I said, no more secrets. And Teffy said, have you been hanging out with that duck-billed beaver? And I said, then we said, anyway, maybe some secrets. Let's respect each other's boundaries. Well, let's be better friends. Dari and Francis were hugging again, and Francis was very excited to meet Billy. I don't know, it was a very loving moment. Vaughn and Al, you know, we did a lot of hugging, and it was nice. And then, we just, Bull fell asleep very fast. So then we all fell asleep listening to Bull snoring. It was very gentle and nice, and we slept well. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Shirley, Haley, and Luke, thank you. Thanks. Good night. Frederick, Anna, and Chill, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Abigail, Stuart, and Sophia, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Misha, Leah, and Jacob, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Justin, Katie, and Lisa, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Kieran, Max and James, thank you. Thanks, good night. Justine, Kathy, and Jill, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Allison B. and Elijah, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Caitlin, Sarah, and Julie, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Matthew, Rochelle, and Alex, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Christopher, Laura, and Kirsten, thanks, and good night. Heather, Holly, and RPG, thanks, and good night. Juiced, AB, and Desiree, thank you, thanks, and good night. Olivia, Terry, and Eugene, thank you, thanks, and good night. Catherine, Christine, and Sabrina, thank you, thanks, and good night. Vidya, Christopher, and Deborah, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Jenny, and Tracy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sleep with Me exists as a free podcast because of people that support the show and support the sponsors or spread the word about the show. So thank you, everybody that does that. And speaking of spreading the word, here's something I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.